Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Monday, January 3rd, 23rd. There's a 2 and a 3 in there somewhere. I know it. Regardless, it's 2017. And I'm Jeff Gamet. What's the next thing we do? That's right. We introduce
people. Tell them who your guests are. That's right.
Oh, sweet. I can totally do that. Dave Hamilton, how are you today?
Oh, hey, Jeff. Thanks for having me.
Oh, my. It's so great you're here. Hey. And John Martellaro, how are you?
I'm good. The antimatter version of me is here today. Boom.
Oh, man. This is the one that has the beard thing going on. So
yeah.
So it's sexy mirror, mirror. Evil John.
Yeah.
That's pretty sweet. Also sweet, we have a sponsor today. That sponsor is Blue Apron, which, as I've just said, is pretty sweet. Hey, so there's a couple things that I wanted to dive into today. The first thing is that it looks like Sprint is now in the streaming music industry. Well, at least 33% in, because that's how much of Tidal they just bought. And So the deal is Tidal gets to continue to operate as its own independent streaming music company. Jay-Z and crew will continue to run it, although the Sprint CEO will now be on the board of directors. And Sprint subscribers will get access to exclusive content, which will be separate from the exclusive content that the rest of Tidal users get. And there you go. So now Sprint is a player in the streaming music market. What do you guys think about this?
I wonder why the marketing and development group keeps adding all these features that chew up bandwidth. And then on the other side, the engineering department say, oh, no, we can't support that. And then the executive team says, clamp down on those unlimited data plans. And the marketing group says, well, we're going to want to sell more music.
And don't forget the
stream more music.
Don't forget the accounting department is saying we need more subscribers.
Right. Right. It just seems kind of weird to me.
It's the music service that keeps getting sold. Now, I mean, it's important to remember. Well, seriously, right? Because Jay-Z didn't start this.
Right.
Jay-Z and company bought it from, you know, Wikipedia lists it as Aspiro, but it was somebody else. It was W. Actually, the service was called WM something or whatever. But, it started as this very pure, aimed towards high-end music listeners or high-quality music listeners. Not that the listeners are high-quality, but they are listeners of high-quality music because it was lossless streaming, right? Mm-hmm. Well, that remains to be seen. I'm just not speaking about them. I'm just speaking about the service, John. And it really had kind of this, you know, people almost spoke of it in hushed tones. It was double the price of anybody else. They had given me a free trial for like 3 months and it was like, oh yeah, this stuff sounds great. I mean, with some things you can't tell the difference between lossless and lossy, especially if the lossy stuff is done well, as Apple Music is, and also as Spotify, most of it is. Mm-hmm. But on some things it was like, oh yeah, you know, like there's some real quality here. And for people that even couldn't hear it but cared about it anyway, and there are plenty of them, the purists, then, you know, this was the service for you. And then, you know, anybody, I think they were a venture-backed company. And so the people that provided the venture, i.e. the cash, wanted some of that back times, you know, 20 or whatever it worked out to be on the multiplier that day. Mm-hmm. And so it was put up for sale and sold to Jay-Z and company back, you know, a year and a half ago or something like that.
Yeah, they launched in 2015. So it was like late 2014, early 2015 when the purchase happened.
Well, the Tidal wasn't launched. I mean, Tidal was launched in just 2014. They weren't out that long before the acquisition by Jay-Z and company happened. And so,
right.
So now, you know, but as soon as that happened, then it was, well, all this stuff that really mattered, we're going to keep that. And we're also going to offer a lower, you know, quality, lossless, compressed, whatever you want to call it, streaming option for $10 a month and compete with everybody else. It's like, wow, the one music service that didn't compete on price now competes on price. And now they're like going one step further and like opening the doors up to carriers. And it's like, what is Tidal? What's the difference again?
Right. Well, and don't forget, another thing they were touting was that they had all this exclusive content, much of which did not stay exclusive.
Well, right. That's the thing, is what are they competing on? Because, you know, Spotify is winning this. Apple Music is, you know, certainly a number two contender, but Amazon, you know, they have a long runway until they need to shut it down, right, with Amazon Music. Mm-hmm. And they're pushing it pretty hard. And especially now with Amazon having kind of won the voice-controlled device in your home battle, at least at the moment, they're the winners. I don't know that we want to call the battle over, but at the moment, they're the ones winning it. And yeah, Amazon Music can be gotten very inexpensively if you happen to have an Echo, you know, style unit in your home to control things with voice, and they can also play music. So, you know, what's Tidal is looking to get into bed with the carriers and or just Sprint. Because taking money from Sprint probably means that they aren't going to take money from AT&T or Verizon.
And considering how much money they took from Sprint, right, equating to a third of their company, and they put the Sprint CEO on their board of directors, yeah, I'm with you. They're not getting in bed with any other carriers. This is, they're now married to Sprint.
Is this a zero rating service, Jeff?
I'm sorry, John?
Is this a zero rating service?
I don't know.
I'll bet it is.
Hmm. Could be.
Yeah, could be. Yeah. So, all right. Here's something that
zero rating service means that it doesn't count against your data cap because they're both your carrier and your content provider, and they don't charge you for the content they sell you so that it can compete better against other people's content distributed on the internet in a non-neutral way.
Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me if that's how they're doing this. Although that's not stated in their announcement. Here's another thing that Sprint is doing as part of this. They're setting up a special fund that is to be used exclusively by Tidal artists for promotion. So that's a nice thing for artists. And probably something they had to do to account for the fact that if they, meaning Tidal, are creating exclusive content just for Sprint, that's a pretty small subset of people that's going to have access to that content. So I'm assuming that they needed to do something to compensate those artists in a more appropriate way.
Okay. I just still don't see the end game here.
Yeah.
I like the concept of what Jay-Z and company have done, sort of the message behind it, but I'm not feeling like it's actually happening yet. So,
yeah. Well, you know, that's been a problem with me for Tidal since it became this bigger thing, meaning when it was the Jay-Z and Company show. I'm waiting for it to really happen. I know for some people love it, but generally speaking, it doesn't feel like it's taken off.
No. That's kind of the thing, is it's interesting that Sprint chose to back this one. Because you know, if it's a zero rating thing, John, Sprint certainly could, and I believe already does make deals like that with other providers, allowing their wireless customers free access or bandwidth limit free access to other services. T-Mobile certainly does, this seems like a weird investment to make just to do that. I mean, Sprint could decide. I don't even know that Sprint would need to make a deal with, say, Apple Music. Sprint could just say, any traffic that we see going to Apple Music, we're not going to count against your data cap.
Sure.
You don't need it. I mean, maybe it would be good to have a deal with Apple Music if you're going to make that announcement, but I don't think you need one You get to decide what you're going to charge your customers for in terms of data. They still have to pay Apple Music in that scenario for the subscription. But I don't see the zero rating thing as a, maybe it's there. It would actually make a lot of sense if it were there. But it doesn't seem like the reason to make this massive investment.
Yeah, the other thing I wonder about is the business plan. What are the projections for success? Everybody's selling music. Everybody's streaming music. The streaming market has got a lot of competition. So where does Sprint's... Well, I'd like to see their document that says where they're going to be in 2 or 3 years, how they're going to succeed, how this investment's going to pay off, how they're going to fight against the giants in streaming music. It boggles my mind.
My guess is that Sprint will consider this a win if it cuts down churn dramatically. And churn being the turnover of customers who go to competing services.
Sort of infrastructure lock-in type of thing.
Yeah, to me, this looks like something that's all about retaining subscribers.
Good luck with that, guys.
Yeah, good luck with that.
that may work, right? I mean, if it's part of a bigger push, I certainly know in my area here, sentiment about Sprint service has changed in the past few years, where people are like, it used to be, oh no, you can't use Sprint around here. The service sucks. Too many dead spots, whatever you want to say. But recently, in the last year here in, New Hampshire, Northern New England, the sentiment has changed. It's still considered sort of a, be careful, but yeah, if you're in these areas, it's probably a good deal. And then pricing is fantastic, especially compared to AT&T Verizon. Mm-hmm. So, as part of a bigger package to spend $200 million to have a music service that you're just going to make part of your deal. Oh, okay. Sure. Why not? I don't know.
Yeah.
You're never going to see that money again.
Oh, it was $200 million. Right. Yeah. That's what the reports are saying. Nobody's admitted that yet. But,
all right. So what it comes down to.
No, you're never going to see that money back again. No. I don't think it's I don't think it's an investment in title. I think you're right, John. Yeah.
Yeah. So what it comes down to is this was $200 million that Sprint could afford to part with for an experiment. And maybe it'll pay off.
Yeah.
Maybe it won't.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. But hey, you know what will pay off? Eating dinner and
yum.
Yeah. And eating a good dinner. And that's so what I just tried to do was a Brian Chaffin segue. And
we saw that.
Yeah. Anyhow. So the real point is Blue Apron is our sponsor today. And I'm pretty pleased with that because they've come up with a system where they deliver real quality meals right to your door. And you get to make them, so it's not like buying frozen dinners and pretending like you live with the Jetsons. This is about getting real quality fresh food delivered to your door with the recipes the instructions so that you can make the meals and have really great dinners. And the experiment that I did, I took the dinners to friends and said, let's make this, and just set them loose on it to see what they would think. And the end result was everyone had fun. It was just a great group experience, a wonderful social event, getting to share that together. And then the icing on the cake, so to speak, was that there was this really good food to eat when it was all done. And it was just a great thing, and you should get a chance to try that too. So you can get Blue Apron's really great quality fresh food ingredients delivered right to your door for about $10 a meal, and they have several different plans, and they're making it less expensive for you, or cheaper, or whatever way you want to look at it. It's they're making a good deal even better by offering three free meals to you, my dear listeners. So what you can do is go to the Blue Apron website. So that'll be blueapron.com/TDO, blueapron.com/TDO. And then order whatever meal plan you want, and you're going to get three free meals as part of that. So You know, like if you do the 6 meals, which would be two meals for 2 people for 3 days, 3 of those are going to be free. And that's a pretty sweet deal. So what you guys need to do, because this is really worth checking out, I've been very, very pleased. Go check out blueapron.com/TDO. Get 3 free meals with free shipping when you place your order, and have awesome dinners on Blue Apron. And thank you, Blue Apron, for being our sponsor. Okay, so before we wrap up today, we still have a few minutes. John, you think that our Apple Watches are going to become far more functional in the future, and they're basically going to be like our own little biomonitors on our wrist.
There's two elements here. One is uploading of health data that we're doing for research right now, which is helping medical researchers understand their audience. The other part of that equation is to then analyze that information and perhaps in combination with your own DNA, send information back to you, which is closing the circle. For example, it may collect enough data on you to, based on analysis, and I'll get to part two in a second, analysis of your sweat and your blood and your pulse and your oxygen and so on, collect enough biomedical information about you that it in turn might be able to make recommendations to you that it could perhaps provide early warning of unhealthful habits or an incipient disease of some sort. So closing the circle and having that information come back to you in a helpful kind of way with an artificial intelligence supercomputer in the middle like Watson doing all that analysis. That's the part that Johnny Evans talked about on Friday, which was the inspiration for my particle debris. The other part is that there's already been watches, according to a reader, that can analyze your sweat, and the blood sugar concentration of your sweat is the same as your bloodstream. So I think Apple's working on it, from what I've read, I think Apple's working on FDA approval to do that. And that would be very helpful for diabetics to be able to monitor their blood sugar non-invasively without having to prick themselves all the time. And so then I imagine that the next step beyond that will be more clever, more intelligent, non-invasive ways of analyzing your blood, not just the oxygen and the blood sugar, but other elements of your blood, your complete blood count, for example, your white blood cell count and your red blood cell count, to tell you whether you're fighting something or in general diagnose the health of your organs. There's certain tests that can tell you about the health and state of your liver and your kidneys and so on. So it would be, I think, not unreasonable to project that in the future, this wearable, and it may be in concert with some other devices to augment it, but it'll certainly be a focal point for a more complete understanding of the health and state of your body. And combine that with special, perhaps, glasses that can spot viruses on doorknobs, keep you steered away from touching bad things. I think we're in for a revolution in terms of
public restroom.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, or a hotel room.
Or a hotel room.
In 10 years, we're going to be orders of magnitude more sophisticated in managing our health. Right now, you get a cold, you say, gee, I wonder where I got that from. I wonder how long this is going to be over. I wonder if taking coldies or what is going to help. You're popping vitamin C, you're kind of like playing a witch doctor, kind of, you know, just it kind of runs its course. If you could upload information about the virus at the early stage and do a DNA analysis and get an antibiotic sent to you by drone that was tailored to your biochemistry, you might be able to do something really aggressive with colds and flu. So,
it's important to note that antibiotics won't help with a cold. Because a cold is generally a viral infection and antibiotics aren't
going to do it. I just had a viral infection a while back, and the doctor gave me a clarithromycin, and he said, this is going to prevent it from getting worse. It won't help it any better, but it'll keep you from getting a sinus infection. It'll keep you from getting a lung infection. It's not going to cause the virus to go away, but it's going to keep you from getting other things.
So. Yeah. John, I love how you added drones into the mix, because they are all hot and sexy right now. I can see designer drugs happening, and I can see the technology we're wearing, like an Apple Watch, playing a role in that. Mm-hmm. But I think what you'll have instead is this little box that that sits like on your nightstand or in your bathroom, and when it's time for the right drug to be made, then it actually just synthesizes it together and spits it out for you there. No need for drones.
You know, that sounds exotic, but I recall in the past you had to send your blood off to a big lab to get a CBC, a complete blood count. One time I was in my doctor's office, and they have this machine about the size of a bread box, and I saw the nurse pop the vial of blood in there, and about 10 minutes later, you know, chur, woo, 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 you know, zoom, 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 chunk, and then it prints out the CBC, and I can look at it 10 minutes later. So that's like 3D printing. You know, it used to be stereolithography, $50,000 machines, and now you got 3D printers for $500. Yeah. So you're not off. You're not far off, Jeff. I think someday that could happen. I think the first stage might be home analysis systems, but synthesis would be the next stage.
Yeah, but if you do a home analysis system, it's linked to your pharmacy. And the pharmacy just gets an alert when it's time to make you a new drug, and you get an alert back on your Apple Watch when it's ready, and away you go and pick it up.
Absolutely. That's the future.
Yep.
There's going to be so many people triggered by this concept. I agree with you 100%, John, and you, Jeff, that this is going to be the future. But we've got many medical professionals, like, you know, wringing their hands and pounding on their steering wheels and screaming at their speakers right now. Like, no, like, you can't take the human element out of this. It's like, well, actually, I think that there are parts of the human element that we can take out of it. But as with all of it, there is a balance, and we will find that balance. Partially, we will find it, as we always have, by going too far in one direction and then swinging the pendulum back. So, yeah, there is some danger here.
I had Maren McKenna on the show a while back, and she talked about how doctors often are pressed for time, especially with insurance payments and allocation of funds. And there's only so much many minutes they have to spend with you in the office. And often a prescription is the fastest way to deal with the time that they have to spend with you. And that leads to overuse of antibiotics. And that's why she's an expert on superbugs and our inability to fight certain superbugs. So the good news is that a supercomputer and an AI agent can do a lot of number crunching about your physical state in the time that a doctor would have spent with you in the office chatting. So there's the good side of that. You may have quarterback coaches. You may have doctors who are your quarterback and sort of overseeing and supervising this. But when partnered with a supercomputer like Watson, all this health data can be better crunched than somebody's rule of thumb in a hurry.
Yeah. Oh, it's true. Yeah. And any one professional in any field is always going to have their own, I don't even want to say biases because it sounds negative. You have your own experiences that then inform your future choices. And to be able, and that's why oftentimes when something's important, you are advised to get a second opinion. Well, as you just said, John, now you can have all the opinions, you know, and you can kind of surface them and deal with them in a very different way. So, yeah, interesting stuff. And it starts with collecting specific data on us. And it seems like Apple is technologically moving down that path. And from a privacy standpoint, has, you know, their stake in the ground about that puts them in a good position to be considered as someone we might trust to do that.
Yep,
it does.
I think so. Hey, we're out of time. We have to wrap up. So, Dave, thank you so much for being here today.
My pleasure.
And John, thank you for being here as well.
I can shave off my beard now?
Yes, now you can shave off your beard and go back to being
the normal Spock.
Right. Yeah. Right. Listeners, thank you for joining us as always. And hey, go check out Blue Apron, blueapron.com/TDO. Get 3 free meals with your first order. And it's good stuff. You're really going to like it. Thanks for joining us. We'll see everyone again tomorrow.